Last Word on Today FM.
John Gibbons, lots of things to get through in the last world in the environment. Start though by telling me about Sitka Spruce, the amazing timber tree, which is a children's book, which is causing controversy.
Yeah, good evening, Matt. This is indeed causing controversy. This was probably the swan song of Michael Healy-Rae. I think his last act before departing as junior minister for forestry was to write the foreword to this book. And what's interesting about the book, Matt, is that first of all, it's distributed to primary schools. Now, you probably might ask, first of all, it's produced not by an educational organisation, but by the timber industry. This is the Irish spin-off of a UK publication developed to promote the timber industry. And if you like, to greenwash the timber industry, specifically the Sitka spruce industry. Now, what's really interesting in this, of course, is that this book is being distributed to national schools, primary schools all over Ireland with no government state oversight whatsoever. I mean, the real doozy.
It's got a foreword by the former minister.
I know, but this is it. But there's what we have here is a commercial interest peddling a particular angle, a commercial angle, disguising their propaganda as a kiddie's book, dressing it up, completely downplaying and ignoring the actual ecological impacts of Sitka spruce.
What's wrong with the Sitka spruce?
Yeah, okay. Well, first of all, obviously, Sitka spruce, briefly, it's a Scandinavian fast-growing timber. Grows extremely well in Ireland. Now, it is very acidic. So because tightly planted Sitka spruce forests, or plantations is a better word, essentially there's nothing else in them. And the other thing as well...
Sorry, aren't all trees good trees? All good trees good for carbon capture?
Not really. Well, I mean, these trees are good for timber production, right? But they have zero or close to zero ecological value, right?
And how could they not have ecological value? Do they not, like all trees, draw carbon in?
But let's just park carbon for a second, right? Because even that is contested, because a lot of these, of course, are planted, for example, on boglands. So the net effect, in fact, is to be a carbon source rather than sink. But we'll just park that for a second. The big push by the people behind this with their amazing tree is to sell a story of the amazing biodiversity to be witnessed in a Sitka spruce forest. Now, the reality is that these things are planted in their tens of thousands, planted by machines. Everything around them is sprayed off with pesticide. I have walked through, as I'm sure many of your listeners have, Sitka spruce plantations. It is like going through a forest that is from one of those grim fairy tales that has been enchanted by the wizard. It is a dead zone. There's no bird song. There's no life on the ground. There's no fungus. It's incredible, Matt. They're complete dead zones. Now, obviously, this is a problem for the timber industry because they want to have social license to continue to produce these things, and therefore they have found a weak spot in particularly in the Irish education system, that anybody can peddle anything they into our schools.
Yeah, listener says, I'm a school principal. When these books arrived in my school, they went straight in the bin. I wonder, is this a thing? I didn't realise that schools take deliveries of books, which look educational, but are actually pushing a particular political or economic agenda.
Absolutely, Matt. It's something I wrote about extensively in my own book last year. We have organisations like the so-called National Dairy Council, which, of course, is a private marketing organisation. It's got nothing to do with the nation. And also another group called AgriAware. They, again, produce very, very, livestock industry. Livestock industry-oriented materials that give a one-sided take, but they're presented and distributed through our schools with no oversight. And as part of my research at the time, Matt, I contacted, obviously, the Department of Education. They said, nothing to do with us, Governor. I contacted the National Council for Curriculum and Assessment, and they said, well, shucks, schools are entitled to take any garbage that comes through that anyone who's got the money, Matt. So if you or I decide to set up some bizarre cult and had the ability and the funding to then, develop our cult literature and shove it out to the primary schools of Ireland, it would rely on the vigilance of our headmasters to actually pick this stuff out. It's an incredible
principles.
Principles.
Okay. Tell us about changes to the BER system that are coming in.
Yeah, the BER system has, the current one has been, and this, of course, is the, it's called the Buildings Energy Rating. That's what BER stands for. And this has been in place in Ireland since 2007. And most people will know it if you've bought or sold a house in the last, or an apartment in the last 15 years. You'll notice that they all are required by law to have a BER certificate.
Although some are exempt.
Yeah, of course, certain buildings are exempt, but most buildings are you have to have a BER certification. The idea here is to show the energy performance. Now, it's calculated on a combination of things. For example, it's the insulation standard, the size of the property, the heating system used. So, for example, in my own case, I remember my when I, in 2022, upgraded my home to install a heat pump without making any other change. That improved my BER from a C2 to a B2. Or sorry, from a B2 to an A2, in fact, at the time. I'd already done previous work. So simply installing a heat pump improves your BER rating because the amount of energy being used to heat your home is being reduced. So anyway, these have been updated, Matt, and the reason for the update is to bring them in line with European standards, with EU standards. So what we have in the old system, there were 15 classifications of BER. So you had, like, you know, D1, D2, D3, etc. That's been simplified now and reduced down. And probably the most important change to it is we have a new category called A0 or AO, and that sits on top of A1. So you've got A3, A2, A1, but you've got this new one. You can call it A0 if you like. And what it means is this is the new categorization for zero energy homes. So these are quite common in the continent, very widespread in Scandinavia, where homes are built that require no heating systems whatsoever. They're so well insulated, and they also use things like mechanical ventilation to make sure the air is fresh, but they require no external heating, not even a heat pump, Matt. And they are now being recognised with this new A0 categorisation. And the reason, of course, is, and it's a good news story for a change, is that because Ireland brought in regulations in about 2010, that all new housing, all new homes, all new apartments built in the last 15 years are now being built to a minimum of an A3 standard. This is an incredible change, probably the most important change, I would say, in the last 25 years.
Okay, comments coming from listeners. David says, I don't think I've ever agreed with John, but on the massive industrial Irish timber production, the length and breadth of this country, in Germany, Ireland is held up as an example of what not to do in respect to forestry. Another listener says, Quilta had a Sitka spruce plantation in North Leitrim practically encasing my home. Now, since it has been felled, the ground looks like a war zone of stumps and branches left behind. They also left behind some that have fallen onto my property. Okay. Hay fever. It's getting worse, apparently, for sufferers.
That's right, Matt. This came to light from a new report or a survey produced by the Lancet Countdown. This is a large healthcare analysis that looks at the health impacts of climate change, and they've published their 2026 edition of what's called the Lancet Countdown. And one of the things they discovered is that the warming effect is causing the pollen season to get longer. It's increasing on average across Europe by 1 to 2 weeks longer. And that's in the period 2015 to 24 compared to the 1991 to 2000. That's a remarkable change in just, 20, 25 years. And of course, the impacts of this for the many hay fever sufferers, it's reckoned, Matt, that about 1 in 5 people in Ireland suffer from hay fever. And it's not a trivial condition. Some people, I personally know people who are crippled with hay fever. It literally ruins their lives. And they dread, a beautiful day like today is a source of dread for people with hay fever. And the bad news from this survey is that this is one of the key health indicators that is getting worse as temperatures rise. And the reason, by the way, for the shift is that the flowering season of plants are changing. And these, of course, are the plants that are releasing the pollen that triggers the allergies.
That explains to me why I've been needing my inhaler today, as it happens.
That's probably it.
Okay. We had Oisin Cochran from the Environmental Pillar with us yesterday, and he was happy to tell us about how 6 in 10 people think the government is not moving quickly enough to cut reliance on fossil fuels. So for all of the angry text messages we get in about you every week, perhaps there are more people out there who don't text in who agree with you.
Yeah, I heard your piece with Oisin yesterday, and I was nodding along in the background. And it is a very interesting study. As you say, the silent majority, the people who don't furiously text radio programmes, they're quite behind strong climate action. I just wish they maybe would vote in line with that a little bit more. But that, as the man says, is another day's story. Looking at the survey, if you break it down, Matt, by party political affiliation, that to me is really interesting. I think the only party that a majority opposed climate action is the Independent Ireland. That's the only one where we have a clear majority that opposes it. But to me, what was quite interesting is that it's sort of an anomalous that while 62% of Sinn Féin voters say the government isn't doing nearly enough, isn't moving fast enough, a huge 29% of Sinn Féin voters think the government is doing too much. So this may explain a certain amount of fence sitting on that particular party, that they have two very distinct groupings within it. Because if you compare that, for example, to Fine Gael, who most people would say are really not on board with climate at all, only 7% of people who identify as Fine Gael voters think the government is doing too much. Now that to me is a remarkable finding. Fianna Fáil, it's only 10%. So we know even among the government parties, there's a real sense that they need to do more. Now, unfortunately,
but it's in the programme for government. Even without the Greens, there's a significant environmental commitments made.
There is. On the other hand, Matt, there's also significant foot dragging and significant backsliding. And we've seen the effect, particularly of the rural independent voting bloc, the effect it has had.
The Healy Rays are gone as government supporters now. Do you think maybe the government will accelerate change in their absence?
Well, the question is, of course, does it simply make them more dependent on the remaining rural independents and tighten their grip? But it is an interesting thing that what we find with these surveys as well is that this idea that rural Ireland is against climate action is refuted time and time again. Now, noisy people within rural Ireland are against climate action, particularly those with vested interests that we won't get into this afternoon. But the regular folks in rural Ireland, by and large, are as fired up as the townies about climate action. And that is something that really gets glossed over time and time again when certain people grab the microphone and claim to speak for all the 1.75 million people who live in rural Ireland who are chronically underrepresented when it comes to environmental and climate issues.
Thank you very much for this. John Gibbons, Last Word on the Environment.
The Last Word on Today FM.